As the Islamic State group continues to face defeats in the Middle East, in other parts of the world, concern is growing it could lead to an increase in terror attacks elsewhere. Europe's law enforcement agency Europol recently released a report warning that IS will now look to adopt new tactics to attack Westerners in Europe and beyond. Matthew Levitt is a former intelligence analyst with the US Treasury and is now director of the Washington Institute's Stein Program on Counterterrorism and Intelligence. He joined me earlier from our Melbourne studio. Matthew Levitt, thanks for coming in. Russia and Bashar al-Assad have declared that IS has been completely wiped out in Syria now. How accurate is that assessment in your opinion?
Well, in the first instance, it's pretty rich for Russia to be making this statement since Russia has been very active militarily in Syria, but mostly in defense of the Assad regime, doing very little, actually, to combat the Islamic State. A more credible source is the International Coalition, of which the United States and Australia are key partners, and they say that whereas at its height, the Islamic State had somewhere around 40-something thousand fighters in Iraq and Syria, now it's down to 3,000, and that's a very significant victory.
And there has been a series of military defeats for IS, as we've seen. Now, what do you think is likely to have been the impact on the ideological appeal of the group to potential recruits, those susceptible players who could go out and carry out actions in the name of IS?
The Islamic State has faced significant battlefield defeat, but it is not defeated. It's just going to change the way it operates into three basic baskets. It will revert to being an insurgent group in Iraq and in Syria as it was before. It will continue to operate its provinces in places like Sinai and Yemen and Afghanistan, and it will also continue to inspire and direct and actually send people to carry out plots of the various types that you've seen here in Australia, a plot thwarted not long ago in Melbourne, and of course, most significantly, the aviation plot several weeks ago. The Islamic State is also changing its recruitment message, and it's no longer saying, look, the Islamic State is remaining and expanding. It's not saying, come to us. Instead, it's saying, carry out attacks at home.
And in that context, it's quite misleading to talk about a defeat of Islamic State, isn't it?
Well, I think it's correct to think about a battlefield defeat for the Islamic State as a state, as an entity that governs territory and that is in control of massive resources. But the Islamic State is still in existence and very dangerous. And the idea is out there. That genie is out of the bottle. And we need to recognize that the problem from the Islamic State is not only what's happening in Iraq and Syria. And by the way, neither Iraq and certainly not Syria, those problems are not yet solved. But also back home, we have situations of people within our societies, even here in the West, who for reasons that have more to do with issues within our society are amenable for radical ideas. And the Islamic State online, which recognizes and knows no borders, is still functioning.
You talk about genies getting out of the bottle. Today, we've also heard from a defector from the Syrian Democratic Forces who's confirmed that a deal was struck a few weeks ago between IS and US-backed Kurdish and Arab forces, allowing thousands of IS fighters and their families to leave the besieged city of Raqqa. Do we have any sense yet of where they could have gone?
It's all speculation at this point, but it's so incredibly frustrating for something like this to have happened because those people will turn up in other places doing very, very bad things. Of course, we anticipate that some of these people will have moved elsewhere in Syria. Some of them will move to other battlefields via Turkey, perhaps elsewhere in the region or beyond. Of course, there was an effort to set up an extremist base for the Islamic State here in Southeast Asia and the southern Philippines. But we're also concerned about people going home, the so-called returning foreign terrorist fighters. And in Europe in particular, the authorities are almost literally drinking out of a fire hose and dealing with the very large numbers of returnees. By the way, not just trained fighters, but also families and what you do with youth that have been completely desensitized to violence. In some cases, even at very young ages, have already engaged in violence. This is a very serious and critical problem, and one that isn't necessarily going to be solved through traditional law enforcement tools, which means we need a whole-of-society approach to this problem set.
Just on the talk of a deal between IS and US-led forces, can I ask you to just speculate for a moment on why such a deal could have been hatched?
We've had situations like this in the past where, for example, in some of the battles in Iraq, Iraqi forces wanted to be able to liberate a town, and it would be easier to do so if they didn't have to fight to the last man. And so in a couple of cases, they would encircle the town or the village, but not entirely, and leave one area of escape, knowing that they'd have to fight those people tomorrow in another place. But in the interim, they would have been able to liberate this town faster and maybe save some civilian lives that way. So you could envision a situation in which they might have seen a way to make the fight just a little bit easier and decided, look, we're the ones here on the ground fighting. We recognize we're still going to have to fight these people who leave another day. But for this battle right here, right now, maybe this is a tactical move that we should consider.
Some accounts say a convoy of vehicles 7 kilometres long was seen leaving Raqqa. Now, while the US flatly denies talk of a deal, Turkey has reported that there's been an increase in the number of IS fighters trying to enter its borders. The concern being that they could be moving through Turkey into Europe. Now, is that likely to be their initial destination?
There's no question but that Islamic State fighters are on the run, and it stands to reason that the most likely means of escape will be a reverse directional throw now from Syria into Turkey and possibly on into Europe or elsewhere. Authorities are very, very concerned about this. I've been spending a lot of time in Europe lately, and I've spoken with senior European officials there, and they already have certain numbers that they know have come back. They have other numbers that they suspect have come back, and they're desperately trying to figure out of the people who went, who's still there, who died there, who's on their way back or has come back.
Now, obviously, that's going to fuel concerns of a fresh surge in attacks in cities across Europe and elsewhere, Australia as well, potentially.
Well, authorities are very, very focused on this. The fact that people are coming back doesn't mean that all of them want to carry out attacks. And Europol has issued a report recently in which it breaks these down into three basic baskets. The very small group of people who are hardened fighters and still very angry and are coming back to their home countries or potentially third countries and would probably want to carry out an attack. The second is people who are still hardened fighters. They aren't interested in carrying out an attack right now, but they could very easily be re-radicalized for whatever the next radical Islamist terrorist group is that could come out. And the third basket is people who went sometimes for altruistic reasons or sometimes because they wanted to see what it would be like to live under an Islamic State. They bought into the propaganda that the group had produced about how wonderful a country they had built, which wasn't the case, and they came back disillusioned. There are still issues with them in terms of their re-entry into society. But authorities in Europe are trying to break things down into these kind of three very general large baskets and trying to triage the returnees accordingly.
Matthew Levitt, thanks very much.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Matthew Levitt is director of the Washington Institute Stein Program on Counterterrorism and Intelligence.